الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I'll go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. And please remember that when it comes to this particular program or my faith, I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic, our class subject, will be on knowledge. Because I notice, particularly now, what's going on in society and at this time and in the past, is that Islam is at the forefront of news media or the news cycle, if you will. And it usually is not very positive that is out there, but people have intelligence and they will read about Islam, learn about Islam, and they will read the Quran, Arabic, English, or whatever language that they speak. They will read, that's the last revelation sent to mankind. They will read it. It will touch their heart. And many people are becoming Muslim. Some people don't like this, but that's not for us to decide for or against, because we have absolutely nothing to do with people liking it or disliking it. But the thing is that people read about Islam, seek the knowledge about Islam, learn about it, and many people end up embracing Islam because they found out the truth about what Islam truly is and not being fed through media and other ways about what Islam really is not. And so let me get into knowledge on those who are seeking knowledge, and you continue to do so. But I want to look at it from through Islamic eyes or Islamic glasses and pertaining to seeking of knowledge. And so the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, ask Allah for beneficial, he said this one to Jabir, he said, ask Allah for beneficial knowledge and seek refuge with Allah from knowledge that is not of any benefit. So it's emphasized here, and I'm going to talk about a little bit later on, about seeking knowledge. Ask Allah, oh Allah, give me beneficial knowledge. And that knowledge does not benefit me, does not help me, that not goes into my heart and reshape my heart or clear out the darkness from my heart, then that's not beneficial knowledge, not benefit me whatsoever. If you have a clear mind and you want to understand clearly what Islam is and what Islam is not, then you ask Allah to make that path clear for you, or to take blinders off of your eyes or your hearing or your heart. We don't want to be deaf, dumb, and blind to the knowledge or the truth of what Islam is and what Islam is not. Because sometimes people can have a sort of a blockage on their eye and they cannot see what true knowledge is and what truly Islam is. And they almost like being led astray from Sirat al-Mustaqim, from the straight path towards Allah, and from through Islam Islam helps to guide a person towards the path towards Allah. We have no other benefit. It doesn't benefit me at all. It doesn't benefit Allah as at all. It benefits you as an individual in search of the truth. How do I get qareeb Allah? How to get close to Allah? And that is getting the correct knowledge about Islam and then moving forward from there to find out what you need to do in order to be a stronger individual, a stronger worshiper of Allah. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And also the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, used to seek refuge with Allah from four things: from knowledge that is of no benefit, from a heart that does not feel humble, from a supplication that is not heard, and a soul that is never satisfied. So these are the four things, Arbashay. These are the four things that Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, that he sought refuge with Allah from these four things. From, of course, benefit, knowledge that does not benefit him, and also a heart is not does not feel humble, and that a supplication is not heard, and also that a soul that is not satisfied. So we too, my beautiful students, Muslim and non-Muslim students, that we should seek the same thing, make basically the same dua, a supplication to Allah, and seeking the help from Allah. Oh Allah, do not give me knowledge that's not going to benefit me. Oh Allah, on a heart that's not humble, oh Allah, a supplication, a dua that is not heard, and then ya Allah, oh Allah, and a soul that is not, that is never satisfied. So he did it, and we should do the same thing and seeking knowledge. I want to commend those who listen to my program for all these years you've been listening to it, attending my class. I hope it's been some beneficial knowledge to you, but I'm going to keep going forward until Allah takes my soul or decide, okay, we have no use for this program anymore because it's not benefiting the people. And that's all this is. I'm not gaining anything from it. I'm not asking anything from you or anything like that. I'm just saying all about the beneficial knowledge for yourself and seeking beneficial knowledge that going to aid you and that going to assist you and make you a better individual. So let me move on, my beautiful students, and that is, Anas narrated, who was one of the Prophet's companions, that the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, used to say, O Allah, grant me a benefit in what you have taught me, and teach me useful knowledge, and provide me with knowledge that will benefit me. It was all about the benefit. It was important to the Muslim then, and the Muslim now, and the Muslims tomorrow, that we ask him for knowledge, for beneficial knowledge, and knowledge that is useful and that it provides with a benefit to me as an individual. And so that's how we should seek and go forward in our quest for knowledge. And Allah clear things up. For those who are not Muslims, ask Allah to help you to open up your heart and that your heart is not closed to the truth, and that you're open to it. And most people are very intelligent people, and they read for themselves, and Allah opens up their heart, and they don't go by what people say about Islam. They go by what they read for themselves about Islam, and they learn more about Islam, and then they understand Islam much better. Not what they're told, which is sometimes slanted and one-sided. All that I'm telling you, you can find from the books. I try to, everything that relate to you come from either Quran or the Hadith, the saying of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Little to none, nothing comes from me as an individual or what I feel or what I think or my opinion. I try to stay as much as possible away from that, as much as possible. But the majority of what I say is comes from those from the sources of Islam. The two main sources of the Sharia are the laws of Islam, which is Quran and the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And it may also come to from our scholars who are much more learned and learned than myself. And so in another hadith, and they say a saying of Abu Huraira, that it may peace be with him, that the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, said, Allah makes the way to Jannah easy for him who treads the path in search of knowledge. So you want to get to Jannah, which is paradise. And in paradise is a beautiful place, and that's ours. That's what we are striving for, and that's what the Muslims are striving for, and it's what you should also be striving for, because alternatively is Jahannam, which is the hellfire, and we talked about that in one of my earlier episodes, and we talked about Jannah or paradise in one of my earlier episodes. Of course, in Jannah, in paradise, you have the rocks on the ground are like rubies and pearls and those kind of things, the emeralds that are all over the place on the ground. And when you step on the soil, the dust is like a musk. It's like something you never smelled before. And our places in paradise, everyone will know your places instinctively. You will know your place, your place or your palace in paradise, and you automatically go to that place. And it's made out of, and some scholars say it's made out of bricks of silver and bricks of gold. And one of those bricks alone is worth everything in this world. Everything. I see some very beautiful homes in this world. Millions and millions of dollars are for this home. You go inside of it, you're in awe at the beauty and the size of these various homes. But it's nothing compared to your place in paradise, your place in Jannah. Nothing in comparison, nothing whatsoever. And just one brick in the house, in your place, or your palace in paradise is worth that home that you see, that you say, oh man, I'd love to have a place like this. Near the water, all the things you may have in your mind pertaining to it. But it's nothing compared to you do right, you get close to Allah, and you end up getting Jannah. Nothing. Just one of the bricks of your house in Jannah is worth everything in this world. Some people are trillions and trillions of dollars that they have. They have these beautiful homes all over the place in various countries, all over. Eat the finest food. Have the servants all over in homes and cars and all these things they have. But it's nothing compared to one brick in your house that you earn in paradise. And so I just want to mention that thing, that to my beautiful students, and get an understanding of what is waiting for you. Because you're striving for paradise to please Allah. And as I said earlier, is that Allah makes the way to Jannah, which is paradise, easy for him who treads the path in search of knowledge. You walk in the path, yimshi, you ala tariq, you walk in the path, on the path towards Allah. It makes it easy for you to walk on the path towards Jannah, towards paradise. Just keep searching and seeking that knowledge, that beneficial knowledge that you're seeking. Don't let anyone tell you about how you should think. Read for yourself. Understand for yourself. Seek the knowledge for yourself. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I want to know. I know when I first became Muslim, I'm going to take you all back a little bit. I first became Muslim. And I revert, if you will, because we all are born in the state of submission to Allah, al-fitrah. And so the thing is, when I went searching for Islam, I went from place to place so you all can understand my path. And I went from place to place and listening to the various, I was seeking understanding knowledge and understanding what Islam is. I went to one place. I went to their meetings. I saw how they were in their meetings, what they said in their meetings. And in my heart, I said, no, 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 this is not what I'm looking for. This is not Islam. I don't feel this. And then I went to, must have been about four or five different places, just seeking Islam, seeking the understanding of Islam, what Islam truly is and truly was at that time when I became Muslim, or searching for Islam. But then I went to a place and I heard what the person had to say and read a lot for myself, really beforehand, before I went to these other places. And this, I was saying, like, this is not what I read. But then I went to the one place, and I said, okay, this makes sense. I feel this. My soul feels good and comfortable when it comes to what these people are saying. And so I embraced Islam back that time. But for you, it might be the same thing. You might have to search, make sure that it's right for you. And you say, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I pray to Allah, what I'm looking for. And so the beautiful thing I'm saying to my students, it may not be an easy road. It may be a difficult road. It may be a challenging road. It may have shaitan or the helpers of shaitan on the path to try to lead you off of that path and misguiding you. But you ask Allah to guide you. You ask Allah to send you on to put you on the right path towards Him, and be around people that are on that right path and then go support you in what you're doing in terms of being on that, on what's it called, Sirata Mustaqim, on a straight path, sometimes the straight and narrow. And so let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, and one of the, and you hear this dua, the supplication a lot from the Muslims, where it says, Rabbana afina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa kida adhabana, to the end of that. Okay? So you ask for the good of this world and good of the next, and you seek in and also ask Allah to protect you from the adhab, from the torture of the hellfire. And this is what we're asking Allah to do. And so also, قال في الدنيا العلم علما والعبادة وفي الآخرة الجنة. And it says here concerning Allah saying, O our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, what I read to you before. And then he said, knowledge and wisdom in this world and paradise in the hereafter. So this is what we're asking for, and for the knowledge and the wisdom in this world in the last day, al-akhirat al-jannah. And so we're asking Allah for this thing, and for beneficial knowledge, and for the good of this world and the good of the next. And it's okay. I want you all to understand is that we're striving, Muslims striving for the next world and doing all they can in this world, which is a short amount of time, because the next world is forever. And I told you all this before, is that the people in paradise and the people of hellfire, they will be gathered near this particular place, and put between them will be death. It will be in the form of an animal, like ram or something like that, or sheep. And then Allah will slaughter death, kill death. In other words, you who are in paradise, you will not die. And you who are in the hellfire, you will not die. You can't escape the hellfire through death. Although people may be begging Allah, oh angel, kill me. I can't bear this anymore. The torture of this place. Take my soul. But it won't happen because it's dead. And the people in paradise, they will live there forever. They will not die. It's not like here, one day we all are going to die. You will not hear my voice anymore, and your ear will not be alive anymore, because you will be dead. We all are going to die. Every soul will have a taste of death. And so I want to emphasize to my beautiful students, do what you can in this world, preparing yourself for the next world. And we can strive for the good in this world, which is okay to do. To be rich, all right, no problem. But I encourage those who are rich to spend on the poor. And like with Zakat, people had to pay 2.5% of their income that it kept for about a year, more or less. and they give that, and it helps those people who have less than they have. Not that in some places where the rich get away with everything, they don't pay taxes, they get away with everything. Everything you can think of, they don't help out with the civilization. They don't do that in many cases. Not all, in many cases. With the human beings that live around them or other places, they don't help out with that. They just get richer and richer and richer. But in Islam, you make whatever money you have, and then you spend some on those who don't have. It benefits them, the poor, and it benefits you being the rich person. So I just want to remind those who have money to help those who don't have. And it's also mentioned here that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, if anyone acquires knowledge that should be sought seeking the face of Allah, but he acquires it only to get some worldly advantage, he won't experience the fragrance of paradise, or arf, meaning the fragrance of paradise, because he's doing it to get some kind of advantage. That's why he's doing what he or she is doing, to get some kind of benefit from others. And I'm going to read something quick. I won't read the whole thing. I'm going to sort of break it down, paraphrase. Allah would have these three men stand before him on a day of judgment, and one person would say that he died a martyr. And then Allah would say that individual, you lied, that you did not die as a martyr. You wanted people to call you this great warrior, and they call you that, and so that person would be dragged off into the hellfire. I believe he's going to be it'll be done on his face. And so this would you wanted people to call you a brave warrior, and they caught you there. You got what you wanted, and so you will be dragged into the hellfire on your face, because you did not do it for Allah's sake. You do it to be praised and praised by the people. As I said earlier, is that people do it from some type of worldly advantage. And so I want to continue. And then you have another person that is a great reciter of Quran, a great reader. And he said, or the scholar, if you will. And he said, Allah, I did it for your sake, that I was reading for your sake. And he said, no, you are a liar. You didn't do it for my sake. You did it so people can call you this great reciter, or this great scholar. But it could be, or some say it's a scholar, some say reciter of Quran. Allah knows best. You want people to call you this great scholar, and they call you a great scholar. Yes, see him right there? Ah, man, I love him. He's a great scholar. He's number one. Listen to what he has to say. Sit at his feet. And so Allah would say to the individual, like the one earlier, he would say that, you're a liar. You want people to call you Qari, or this great scholar, or knowledgeable person, and that's what the people did. And so again, He would have the person dragged away on their face and cast them into the fire. And then you have the last person. And the last person is one that is a rich person. He was abundantly rich, very rich. And so he was one that's, I was rich. I, give to the people, that kind of, all these different things that he's going to say to Allah, pertaining to his wealth. And then Allah's going to say to the individual, he's going to say, well, no, you are a liar. You did not give for my cause or for me, to satisfy me. You did it so people could call you a rich person, a giving person. That's why you spent your money the way you spent your money, and they want people to call you a generous person. So that's why you spent your money. They call you a generous person. They call you a giver. All these things. Okay, you got that. Now the thing is, Allah will have you dragged away on your face and towards and cast into the hellfire. These three individuals, as I mentioned before, you're doing things for the advantage of for worldly things. So be careful, my beautiful students, of why you are learning. You don't want to be like the man I mentioned, the scholar, and you're saying, oh Allah, I did it for your sake. I sought the knowledge for your sake, but Allah knows best. He said, you did not do this for me. You did it because you wanted people to call you a knowledgeable person or a great warrior or a generous person. And so they did. And so now this is what you get for what you did. And so those who are seeking knowledge, seek the beneficial knowledge. Not knowledge is going to not benefit you. Ask Allah to open up your eyes, open up your ears, and open your heart into to Islam. So you get the understanding it. Again, my program is not to convert people to Islam. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you about Islam. Now you decide, and Allah bless you to convert. That's up to you. That's between you and Allah. And Allah asks me, did you deliver the message to the people about Islam? I can say, yes, Allah. I did deliver the message to the people. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, I delivered the message of Islam to the people. The truth, as I understood it, to the people. Any mistake is from me. Any good is from you, Allah. And so I would testify, although Allah already knows what I knows this, but if you ask, I'll tell him. I told you. So it's up to you to say, oh, yeah. The imam, he told me. My teacher told me. I know about Islam. Some of you listen to my program, and I pray that you're learning a lot about the faith of Islam. For some people, it's kind of mysterious for some people. It's like strange, ajib for some people. But don't worry about the strangeness of Islam. The beauty of Islam. Get to understand the beauty of Islam. Things are going to be strange. When a lot of religions came in, for a lot of people, they were considered strange and unusual. And some people didn't want them to blossom and to grow, and they did it all they can or could to keep it from growing. It's like you put the seed in the ground, and then they put their foot over it to keep it from growing up. Don't water it. Don't do anything to it. But that's it. This is the hands of Allah. It's bigger than anything. You can't get rid of the idea of it, and nor the people. But people are embracing it all over the world. It is the second largest religion in the world, and then by around 2032, 50, something like that. I think it may end up being, Allah knows best, the number one religion in the world. And that's it. It's like you can't stop it. People are trying to stop it. Look at it. Look at what we're talking about. The economics of it. Look at it. The way we treat women. Look at it. The way we treat men. Look at it. The way we treat elders. Look at it. The way we treat children. Look at it. And learn about Islam. Learn what true Islam is, and so that when people come to you with this other stuff that is not Islamic, you'll know the difference. You'll know the difference because you're my student and I taught you well. I taught you the difference according to Hadith and Quran. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm just coming from Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also from Quran. And that's it. I can't do anything more than what I'm doing and trying to teach you about Islam. And well is not from me. When I said I taught you well, this is from my sources, which is from Quran, and also is from the Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and the various scholars. That's what I mean by teaching you well and not from me. And so, my beautiful students, I want to say in closing is that you have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.